Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, Dream Big listeners. So what if I suggested that we all go to a funeral today? How would you react to that? I don't know about you, but I mean, I used to be okay with funerals. I know that might sound weird, but we had a big, huge Polish family and small Irish family, but it seemed like we were going to funerals all the time as kids. So we weren't, you know, I mean, we're just kind of used to it. Is that weird? But and I didn't seem to ever really fall apart unless it was someone obviously super close. So as I'm getting older, my, how that changes. And last week, my father's best friend passed away, and he was larger than life, a lot like my own father. And together, oh my God, it was just like one big party. They were so funny. And I think that since my father passed away, funerals just are a totally different ballgame now. I mean, everything just comes back up. You know, you think you push the grief, you think you're through it, and then you go to a funeral and it reminds you of everything. But what was really interesting about this funeral was, one, it was so crowded. And I went by myself. My siblings couldn't make it. And so I went by myself and I saw a few of my father's friends. And now at first I couldn't totally recognize them because they were obviously a lot older since the last time I've seen them. And one of them was in a wheelchair. And I just went up and introduced myself, and they still had, when I said who I said I was Dr. Barry Sesney's daughter. They had all gone to medical school together. And I'd heard some crazy stories about their med days. And it was like I saw the youth in their eyes again. And they had this sparkle. And it was just incredible when they started telling stories. And then at the end of the stories, you could tell they just kind of, their thought kind of trailed off. And they got, you know, like their eyes got all misty. And so the service started. And now, Uncle Henry, that's what we called him. He was, from what I remember, our very first experience. I was brought up Catholic, and it was like our first Jewish friends that I knew of. And it was, they had this life I never knew about. And it was so interesting to me. And they were so fun and full of life. And when I looked around, I realized I was probably like the only non-Jewish person in the room at the service. And it was such an experience of beauty. The rabbi who spoke started off by saying all of kind of the normal things you'd hear at a funeral. You know, he was a Renaissance man. He was kind. He was this. He was a doctor. He was that. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's not going to get him, you know, like really express who he was to me anyway, growing up. And then all of a sudden, he basically said, and he was also, he didn't say smart ass, but it was kind of like that. You know, he was very sarcastic and it was so funny. He lightened the room up. But what he went on to say at this funeral was so many things about my Uncle Henry that I didn't even know. The way he grew up, he started with saying that when he was a child, he used to paint everything, you know, anything that wasn't nailed down. He'd paint a chair, a wall, and his mom would be like, stop it. And his grandmother said, she gave him paintbrushes. And she said, you paint whatever you want because someday your art is going to hang in a gallery. And now he went on to be a physician, but what I found out during the service was after he retired in his 60s and 70s, he took art classes and would paint every day and became really, really good at it. And just so many things about what the service said to me and spoke to me was he did so much in one lifetime. He wrote two books. His certain stories were published in articles. He, you know, outlived his wife. Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer. But then he had another relationship with a person. He never remarried, but became quite a fixture in her family and her kids. And they were there speaking. And he did everything with laughter and grace and just wanting to help people. Like, that was his thing. He wanted to help people. And so I guess the reason I'm talking about funerals today is not to make you sad. But, you know, I do have a song called Live Like There's No Tomorrow. And what, as I get older, I've been asking myself when I get really upset about something is, if I was on my deathbed right now, would this really matter? And it's amazing how your perception changes when you look at it. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you what, but like my husband and I had a little spat this morning. And it was just over something silly, but we both wanted something and we were both fighting for it and we were arguing. And, you know, and as I'm driving to the radio station, I'm like, okay, let's think about it. Let's put this thing to work. On your deathbed, would it really matter if you leave for the airport in the evening or the morning? No. The fact is you're going to be spending time together, and that's the important thing. So what if we all approached life that way? Can you imagine if, you know, I have a few Dream Big clients who have diseases that actually, you know, doctors will say are fatal, but they're living. That's it. They're living their lives. They're doing things with a purpose and with a passion. And how many of us just kind of skate through life, you know, I don't want to say directionalist, but, you know, losing sight of what's important. So let's talk about that. What is your definition of a great life? You know, a lot of times we all daydream about having a yacht or, you know, all the money in the world. And I'm not saying money's bad, because money sure does come in handy and money sure does. I think sometimes money gets a bad rap. None of us want to say we want money. You know, it's like not cool to say it, you know, especially artists, like starving artists. You know, we're supposed to be like, oh, no, it's OK. We won't make any money. No, it's not. It's okay to make money, everybody. So embrace money. But I'm just saying that what are the first things that come to mind when you think of a great life? Or let me ask you this. What is something? Think about one of the most happiest times in your life. What were you doing? Now, I can think of times where I've literally like peed my pants from laughter, from hanging out with my friends. And that joy, that natural joy that's created. And usually it's like sitting on my front porch with my friends, drinking a glass of wine and just hanging out and just busting out laughing. That to me is a life well lived, where you have friends that have been with you through thick and thin and you know they have your back. Or standing in front of an ocean that you never thought you'd be able to afford to get to. Or just driving down a road and having enough gas in your car to get there and looking at pretty much God's creation. You know, there's so many little things that can really make you feel alive. So I know that like a lot of times if you're super busy, we all like to kind of desensitize, you know, and sometimes it's through alcohol, through drugs, through TV, through our cell phones, you know, we just kind of just get motionless, you know, emotionless. And I think we all have to be really careful of that. We're so able to, you know, just grab our phone for a distraction. When's the last time you just sat with yourself and thought about what's really important in your life? Now, I talk a lot about journaling and listing grateful. You know, it's gratefulness, you know, people think it's got to be some big list. I mean, I always tell my dream big clients, start small. Start with, I have, you know, 10 fingers and 10 toes. I'm breathing. I'm able to hold a pen. You know, when you really start making lists, you realize how lucky you are. And the more grateful you are, I do find this, it's kind of a miracle. The more grateful you are with what you have, you seem to receive more. When we're chasing that thing, when we're like, I need more, I need more, I need a fix, I need this, I need that. You're not living in the present. You're not, and I'm not saying don't make goals, because it's very important, I think, for goals. But even if you're goal-less, which many people say to me, you know, you're so lucky, you have a purpose. Well, I didn't always have a purpose, and I didn't always know what I was supposed to be doing. I was going to be a nurse, for God's sake, and I found out I hated chemistry and biology, and I flunked out of all my classes, and I always knew where 25-cent beer night was. So that was a real reason why I didn't graduate college, let's get real. And I did wander, but there's a difference between wandering with a purpose and just wandering. So what if, you know, you're like, I want to have a good life. I really want joy. You know, we don't have to work. You know, everybody's like talks about, oh, I got to go to work. There is in you a dream in there that you need to dust off. And while it might seem really big, envision it anyway. Why not? Isn't it more fun to envision something really beautiful and something that could bring you joy and hope and also stimulate you with energy? I don't know about you, but when I put out an idea for myself, you know, I'm always kind of challenging myself. I do have issues sometimes with living in the present. I'm really practicing that a lot, but because I'm a doer, I'm a doer and I'm a creator. I love to create, but it's so fun to create in my mind a dream that may seem totally out there. And, you know, I'm working on something right now that took 8 years to come to fruition, but I just kept believing in it. And I may put it in a file somewhere and put it off to the side. It may not be the right time, but I kept just feeding it hope and energy. And it is now coming to fruition. I can't tell you about it yet, but I'll tell you about it when it's going to happen. And the bottom line is I just kept believing, even though it seems so big to me and at times scary and full of possible rejection and failure and all that. But I kept thinking, and to me, when that happens, your soul just itches at you. Do you know what I mean? It just like has that feeling like it won't leave you alone. Something that keeps recurring in your brain and you can feel it in your heart, in your gut. That is God. That is the universe. That is whoever you want to believe in or whatever you believe in giving you the idea. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't supposed to be created. So you can choose to be like, nah, I'm not gonna. Or you can be like, okay, this is really scary. I'm scared, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And you can take baby steps. It's your life. Remember that. It's your life. And we spend a lot of time in our 20s worrying about what people think, and even in our 30s. But when you get to be your 40s and 50s, all of a sudden life starts looking like, whoa, it's going really fast. And when I think about it, you know, I might only have one more day on this earth, but I always pictured myself living to be like 90. So let's say that's the case. You know, that means I have a little less than 40 years to go. Oh my God. Like seriously, when I think about how the last 50 some years have gone so fast, I don't feel any older. I don't feel my age. I feel like I'm 12 in my brain, but I know that, man, let's go. Let's keep living. Let's have fun. Let's not sweat the small stuff. You know, when we think about how much we worry, oh my gosh, I read this quote, and I don't know if I've said it on the show before, but worry is a way of praying for things you don't want. Oh my God. Think about that. Worry is a way of praying for things you don't want. Jen Sincero, thank you very much. She's an amazing person. She wrote the book, you're a badass at making money. And I read her quotes all the time because they just smack me in the middle of my forehead. And it's like, oh my God, think about how much energy you put into worry. Now, what if you take that energy and you put it into your life, like in a positive twist? You know, what is important to you? If you like to laugh, surround yourself with people that actually make you laugh. Surround yourself with people that make you feel good. Surround yourself with people that are honest about you without hurting you. You know, set your boundaries. If you are a yes person and always say yes, 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 and never believe in saying no, learn your boundaries. It took me forever to learn my boundaries. I was a people pleaser. Still am in a lot of ways. But you can drain and deplete yourself and then you're no good to anyone. So if you're not sweating the small stuff and you're surrounding yourself with people that are good for you. And some people say, well, how do I know what I want to do? Well, if you're not happy where you are, make a list of why not. What is it that's not making you happy? And this isn't to be a victim. You know, you don't want to play a victim because you'll just encourage more of that energy in you. But make a list of what's not making you happy and why. And get really honest with yourself. Is it something that you're putting yourself in a position? Like me, I wanted to quit my job. I complained. I whined. I tried to think positive about it. I was the only one holding the reins there. If I wanted to get out of that situation, I had to make it for myself a way to do so. And some people say, oh yeah, you're making it sound really easy. It wasn't easy. It was scary. And I knew I had to save a certain amount of money. It's amazing when you choose to do that and you find out how much you've actually wasted spending things like, oh, I love that dress. I have to have that dress. No, I don't have to have that dress. You know? So what's important to you? How do you begin? Well, sit down and start being honest. Is your life going in the direction you want it to? When I look at my life now, the answer is yes. If you would have asked me 2 years ago, I was in a pool of a mess of just not knowing how to do everything I wanted to do and really get it done and be financially independent with it. And now it is. I'm here to say you can create the life you want. It doesn't mean that you don't have to work at it. And when I use the word work, I wish it was a different word. I just don't even know what that word should be. I'm going to make one up. We'll just figure it out later. But the bottom line is we'll use work for now. You do have to put your energy towards it. How's that? And you can't just sit on your couch and say, okay, I am now deciding that I'm going to do this and then sit there and wait for it to happen. Doesn't work that way. Not anything in life doesn't work that way. But you can set your intentions. You can set a goal. Goal setting every day is great. But also if you're like, I don't know where to go, but just set your intention and walk out the door. Get your butt off the couch, walk out the door and start looking for signs. They are there. Some people think I'm crazy. My husband probably does too. But the bottom line is they're there. All you have to do is look. For example, and I don't think Amy will mind, I had Amy Futrell on my show. She has stage 4 colon cancer. Her dream is to be able to do speaking engagements for as long as she can, talking about gratitude. Can you believe that? This woman has had brain surgery. She's had she had total paralysis on the left side of her face. This was even before colon cancer. She had a husband who committed suicide. She has a gay son who suffers from depression, and she also has an autistic son. This woman wants to speak about gratitude for the rest of her life, for as long as she has, and she doesn't know how long she has. But the bottom line, that's her goals. So I feel as the fact that she's a Dream Big client, that we work together. So last night, I text her. She's been on my mind. And when that happens, I know I'm supposed to do something about it. I text her and I said, okay, let's really work on this. I want you to set an intention of the place that you want your first speaking engagement. Visualize it. I will do the same. And we will find it and we will make it happen. Well, I was driving back from northern Michigan. I had about 3 hours of time to think. And so I was visualizing it. And I had a rehearsal at 6:30 at a place I'd never been to. And I walked in and my wonderful friend Nadir showed me around the place. And I realized this was the place Amy was going to have her first speaking engagement. I asked him if they rented it out and I explained her situation. He said, no problem. And it was perfect. It was in the correct city, in a perfect spot, just enough people, anywhere from 80 to 100 people. And that was only not even 8 hours later. I'm saying that if you open your heart and your mind and know that good things are going to come to you and you will welcome good things and you will protect yourself from the bad, visualize the light around you. Always put a light around your body. Put a light around your car. Put a light around, if you're going into a situation and you know there's going to be people there that just might suck the living daylights out of you, then just visualize being protected by the light. You deserve it. It's such a hard thing to understand sometimes for some people. Everyone, every single person on this planet, even some people I don't like, deserve to have a really good life. So when I look at where I was at that funeral, it shook me to the core in a good way. A couple things went through my mind where my father, his last 7 years, I'd say, was he had to lay in bed. He had arthritis. He really didn't get up. Now, whether he could have, I don't know. He did die of cancer. But when he looked back on his life prior to that, I believe he was somewhat extremely happy with his life. He just told me in the hospital before he died that this is not how he wanted the rest of his life to be, to looking up at his ceiling and not being able to get out of bed. So if you're still young, if you're still moving, I encourage you to move more, eat right. It's okay to have some things. I'm not saying be super strict, but really think about your body and your mind and your heart and your soul as something you invest in. You invest more in that than the worries or, you know, the news or, you know, negative thoughts that really don't serve a purpose whatsoever. Really question what goes through your mind and why you're thinking it. And then ask yourself, if I'm on my deathbed tomorrow, will this thing that I'm worried about truly matter? Is this really important? And if the answer is no, then don't worry about it. Push it aside mentally and literally do something right then and there that makes you happy. Now, what makes me happy is I love birds. I love cows. I love things that just nature itself. I go outside. I sit by a tree. Things that calm me. Things that I can pull energy from that are positive. Start clearing out your life of the negative. Start clearing out the things that shouldn't be there that are blocking you from living the life that you really deserve and you truly want. Start being honest with yourself. Be kind to yourself. And dream big. Get out of the comfort zone, people. If you do so, more opportunities will come. It's like cleaning out your closet for those new clothes. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but I was just thinking about that this morning. Anyway, I want you all to do that for me and do it for yourself. Live like there's no tomorrow. Remember what's important. You're in charge of your life. You got this. Live big, love large. Have a great week.